Can I go to the bathroom?
Sure. Well, it sure is good to have everybody here that is here, and it's good to see everybody, and good to be seen. Good morning to you. And let's, I've been delving into this. I think it's a theme, it's a subject, it's a series. I don't know if you call it that, but I know it's going to go on for a while, and there's going to be others that participate in this, not just myself. I kind of call it like debunking myths or busting myths. I don't want to say myth busters because I think they've got the rights to that name. But as Christians, and the thing that I think the idea and the principle behind it all, if you guys are with me during this, I'd like us to understand, get an understanding of this, and the purpose and the reason behind it is simply to free us from some of the hindrances that block us from walking with the Lord, following the Lord, being a disciple of Christ, getting in our way. A lot of times it's not the government that's in our way, or our neighbor that's in our way, or even our wife or husband that's in our way. It's our worldview. It's our ideology. Gosh, that's a hard word to say for me. Ideology. There you go. You got to say it fast. There you go. Thank you, whoever said that. Those things are the things I think that get in our way and block us, hinder us from walking in the Spirit. And as a disciple of Jesus, and like Glenn said, and I'm just going to go off of that whole thing, is, you know, I think we miss sometimes the purpose of church coming to, you know, I don't even like the term because I don't think it's biblical. Go to church. That's not a biblical term at all, even. In fact, that's extremely misleading because it's as though we're going to a building to go to church. And that doesn't make any sense when we understand that who is the church? Where is the church? What is the church? It's us. So do we go to each other?
Yes.
Okay. So going to church is every day, all day, during the week. Not just Sunday. Sunday is the morning that we gather together, and we worship the Lord, and we encourage each other. And so that brings up today's, you know, last couple weeks, I think a few weeks ago, I talked about God doesn't need your money. And that was a fun one. I had a blast doing that because that, I don't know about you, but that frees me of the obligation to have to give, you know, because we're supposed to. Instead, it frees me to want to give as much as God calls me to give, which is way and above and beyond and ought to be the 10% that we are supposed to give. It's as God leads by the Spirit to give. And last week was, you know, that term, not of this world, or in the world but not of the world. And really, it challenges us to rethink that and saying that we are not of the world, sent into the world, right? It's our destination. Our destination isn't to get ourselves removed and protect ourselves from the evil of the world, but instead, as God fills me with the Spirit and God is in me, Christ in me, and I in Christ, I'm sent into as a light. Remember the term, I love the phrase, God has pulled me out of darkness into His light, to send me back into the darkness. Man, that picture of and I just like, whoom. It's like He doesn't pull you out of darkness so that you could sit on a shelf with a you know, and be nice and safe. He pulls you out of the darkness, fills you with His Spirit, gives you the light of His life in you, through you, to send you into the darkness, into the world. Hello? Yeah, man, I know you guys are with me. I could just sense it, that God is here, His Spirit is here. So I want us to delve into a subject that is, it's one that is when the preacher talks about this subject, a lot of people get like, ooh, nervous and start getting a little cringy and like, oh man, it's one of them is giving. That's one that we's like, oh, I start getting a little uncomfortable. And the other one is evangelism, sharing our faith. So I want to talk about that this morning because I think that this, what this is going to do if it doesn't instantly cause you to say, oh gosh, he's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do, and I'm not really feel led to do, and I'm really uncomfortable in doing, and oh, he's going to give me all this guilt trip of how I should be doing this and how I should be doing that, and man, I should be going door to door, knocking on everybody's door, and making sure that they know that that we get into this. There's this verse in the Bible that I think gets misconstrued more than any verse. Well, there's a lot of them, but this one in this realm it's where I'm trying to think of it. It's coming off my head here for a second here. It's where he says that anyone who is ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of them. But he who is not ashamed of me, I will not be ashamed of them. You guys know where that's at in the Bible somewhere? Okay, it's in Matthew. Good. I don't know even exactly where it's at. And it's almost as though it heaps this load of guilt on me to where, oh boy, I better not be ashamed of Jesus. So at every point in every, you know, in every conversation, I need to make sure I mention the name of Jesus somewhere. Somewhere I need to talk about Jesus. I need to, you know, like throw his name in. Like, you know, as you're walking by and you're talking about, you know, this or that, sports, weather, movies or something, and then you start walking away. Hey, Jesus loves you. Oh, phew, I said it. Whew, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed because I said Jesus loves you. Doesn't it make you feel like that a little bit? No. Am I the only, gosh, you guys, am I weird or you guys just, you guys are all normal and I'm weird. Nobody feels like that at all? I do. Okay. I know, that's a loaded question, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and I'm going to bring this to light. It has a stigma. Evangelism, even in Christianity, has a stigma of this. We are guilted into sharing our faith. So let's talk about it, because I think there's a freedom in sharing our faith that I want us to get to. And if we have an understanding of what it is of evangelizing and sharing Jesus with others and sharing the Lord with others, I believe it'll free us to be evangelical, to be a witness, and to share our testimony of the power of God in every and any situation that God leads us. That's what I think we're about to. Because here's the thing: is it's been studied that two out of three professing Christians don't share their faith in Christ with non-believers. Have never shared and don't share their faith in Christ with non-believers. Now, maybe that isn't true in this room. I would say maybe it's a little bit reversed in this room, probably, because we're a smaller room. But I think in Christianity as a whole, that's probably more true than not true, is people just, even as Christians. And why is that? It seems like something is wrong with that. Why are we not sharing our faith? Why are we not proclaiming the gospel with those that are lost and dying and going to a real place called hell if they don't come to a saving grace and saving knowledge of Jesus the Christ? That's real and that's very true. So why are we not compelled? Why are we not inspired to say, hey, I love you and I want you to know something about God's love? Josh, you had a thought. Okay, so what you just described is exactly what Jesus called. He called a thing called, he called it persecution, because we don't want to deal with persecution. We don't want to deal with rejection. We don't, and a lot of that is simply fear. Fear. We're afraid to be rejected, turned away. We don't want to be ridiculed. We don't want to be looked at as like one of those Jesus freaky people, you know, or intolerant. Now it's the intolerant Christians in the world. We don't want to be labeled as one of them, to very, you know, as saying Jesus is the only way. That would be just, you know, I mean, who believes that anymore? Amen. Me too. Well, Yeah, there is a perspective that comes with that, but I believe it's even more than that. It goes deeper than that, and it does. And you know, so I wanted to, you know, I know a guy. Have you been asked the question? Has anyone here been asked the question? The question of questions that would be the ultimate question to be asked as a Christian. Somebody coming up to you and say, "Hey, how do I get to know the Lord? How do I get to heaven? You know, how do I be saved?" That's, I mean, wouldn't that be the coolest thing if you just walked around shining so bright that people would say, "Wow, I could tell that you, there's something different about you. How do I get what you've got? How do I get what you've got?" Right? We dream of that and how easy that would be to somebody to walk up to me out of nowhere and say, "Hey, I want what you've got. How do I get to heaven? How do I get to heaven? I could tell that you've got an eternal purpose. I could tell that there's something different about you. How do I get that?" Wouldn't that be the coolest thing if it was that easy? Huh? Well, I know a man who was asked that very question. Very question. I personally have been asked that once or twice. Just once or twice. I've been Christian for a lot of years. And I don't get asked it very often. In fact, I think twice I've been asked it. But this guy was asked that question, and he gave him an answer that I think was probably a little bit harsh. Is he basically told this man that came up and asked him, how do I get to heaven? How do I get eternal life? And this man told him, he said, "Well, here's what you got to do. You basically have got to take everything, and you've got to do the good works that you know to do. You've got to take everything you have and give it to the poor. Give it to those in need. Pay attention to those that are in need and give it to them. Take everything you have and give it to somebody else. Give it to somebody else." And this man's response was like, "Well, I can't do that. That's asking way too much. That's asking way too much." He said, "Well, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. If you really want to get to heaven, if you really, really want to have treasures in heaven, that's what you got to do." And the man walked away, and let him walk away. Let him walk away. The guy came to him asking the question, seeking to find the answer, and he let him walk away because he didn't give him the, I would think it would be the, you know, protocol answer of, "Well, you simply just give your heart over to God. Give your heart over to God. Just say yes to God and His love for you. Repent of your sins and walk in His ways." And it would be that easy. And it would be that easy, right? Well, let me tell you, this man who did this, his name was Jesus. His name was Jesus. His name was Jesus, and here's what he did in Luke 18. I want to share the story with you. Luke 18, verse 18. And because it's so, I think, different than maybe what we would think if somebody came up to me and asked me, "Hey, how do I get saved?" I mean, if somebody asks you that as a believer, aren't you going to just say, "Oh man, just believe in Jesus. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do is say yes to Jesus right here and now. Let's just pray, like nice little quiet spot in a little corner to where nobody maybe see us or not. But all you got to do is pray it in the quietness of your heart and say yes to Jesus and you'll be saved. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do." Right? Right? Wouldn't we do that? Wouldn't we do that? But what did Jesus do? Let's look at what Jesus did, because I think there's going to be insight into what authentic, real evangelism looks like, sharing of Christ looks like. Look at this. Verse 18, it says, "Now a certain ruler asked him," Jesus, "saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" The question of questions. Hello? You guys with me? Okay. Most of you are with me? All right, very good. And so verse 19, so Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God." He didn't even address the question that he was really asking. You guys notice that? He asked, "How do I get saved? How do I get eternal life? How do I get to heaven?" He didn't answer that question. He asked him this one thing. He picked up on this one thing that he said, "Why do you call me good?" Because the guy did say, "Good teacher." He said, "Why do you call me good? Why are you calling me good?" And listen to this. He says, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Do the good things. Be a do-gooder." Maybe because, listen to this. In verse 21, the man says, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So Jesus was getting to the heart of it really quick. Getting to the heart of this man's real question. See, this man, this rich young ruler, or this rich ruler, came to Jesus as a wealthy do-gooder. So Jesus put him on spot, put him on blast, if you will. Say, if you really do perceive yourself as a do-gooder, here's what doing good really looks like. Here's what it really looks like. In other words, I'm not going to appease and coddle your little view, your ideology. I got to say it fast. Your worldview of what it means and what it looks like to be saved. I'm not going to coddle that, but I'm going to put you on blast. Speak right to your heart, because that's what you're really asking. And so he says this. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing." One thing. One thing. It always comes down to one thing, doesn't it? One thing that gets in the way. One thing that hinders us. One thing that's blocking us from truly following with all of our heart after God. "Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." You see what Jesus said, and then he spoke directly right to his heart, right to the matter of his own heart. Because what he came to him asking, remember, he came to him asking, "How do I have eternal life?" What he was also really asking, "How do I, as a wealthy do-gooder, have now my wealthy treasures doing good to where they will carry over into the eternal life? How do I have true riches for not just here, but for eternity?" That's what he was asking. And Jesus compelled him, and he asked him the question that was very right to the point of his own heart. He said, "Take all this which you have here and lay it up in heaven." Lay it up there. In other words, get rid of it all, because it all really doesn't matter. But instead, lay up treasure in heaven. It reminds me of the verse where Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't twist that. Don't get that backwards. Because where we lay up treasure is where our heart is. You guys understand that? Do we get that? Because a lot of times we want to twist that and say, well, you know, my heart is good. My heart is good. It's like, well, examine where your treasure is, and that will tell you where your heart is. In other words, identify, look at where my heart, where my treasures are laid up, where my treasures are being placed, and that's going to tell me where my heart is. The trueness of where my heart is. Not to where the intentions of my heart ought to and want to be, because that's where we usually measure ourselves by what, right? The intentions of my heart. The intentions of my heart are good. Well, if they really are, then that's where your treasures will be. Your treasures will be that your treasures are where your heart is, right? And then he says this, and he goes on, he says, "Come and follow me." Verse 23, and this is insightful to us all. I want us to hear this. "But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich." Just listen to that in for a second, because I want us to, and this is for us to examine even, how do you know what's an idol in your life? How can you tell what's an idol in your life? Well, here's one little verse that gives us insight how we could tell where the idols are in our life. You guys with me for a second? Stay with me. Where I get the most emotional, very sorrowful, is usually where I have placed the most importance on things in my life. Do you hear that? He became very sorrowful. It was a sadness that sunk deep within him because of the idolatry of his wealth. Do you hear that? So pay attention to yourself, to myself. Where I get emotional, may it be a political worldview that stirs me to anger and emotion. Anger is an emotion. Where I get emotional, whether it be about money, whether it be about lust, whether it be about things that are not of God, just the where I get it. Oh, wait, hello. I want us to listen to this too. Listen. Where I get emotional in my passion for God, maybe that's, if I have a passion for God that is so intensely emotional, could it be that I have placed Him as God of my life? Hey, hello? Come on, guys. I want us to, are you guys with me? Come on, don't make me get up in your lap and, you know. Amen. I want us to understand that. Let's get that. Is when we get emotional about something, that's where my heart is. That's where my heart is settled. That's where I've placed things of value, of importance, of treasures in my life. Things that emotionally rile me up. Hello? So when I get emotional about God and God things, that's a good thing to get emotional about. Hello? When I get emotional about things that are not of God, maybe there's an idolatry there. Maybe there's something there that is hindering me from being emotional about God. Emotions are of God, right? Let's set them in God. Oh, man, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Man, I got a whole page of notes, and that was only the first point. But this here is what I wrote down in light of this passage. I had to take another drink before I got riled up there for a second. Must be passionate about this. Jesus simply followed the leading of God the Holy Spirit and listened to what the man was really asking. That's what authentic, true evangelism looks like. Following the leading of the Holy Spirit and listening with compassion to what people are saying and really asking and how they're living, what's going on in their life. Hello? Peter did it. Peter did it at Pentecost, since today is what we refer to as Pentecost. Let's go there for a second, all right? This is kind of a little, I kill two birds with one stone. I was thinking, how do I teach on Pentecost when, well, Peter did it, and I'll share with you how he did it, and it's pretty cool. Acts chapter 2 says, I'll just start in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with him in one accord. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then they appeared to them. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, as one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because every one heard them speak in his own language. So listen, I want you to just get the insight of what's happening here. Because people are starting to wonder. They're looking, saying, what's going on here? Peter was paying attention. And then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Persia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. So he goes through this whole gamut of all these areas of cultures of different language, Christians and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. It was perplexing, confusing. They wanted to know what was going on, right? And so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? And others were mocking and saying, they're full of new wine. In other words, they're drunk. But Peter, and this is what I want us to hear, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what is spoken of the prophet Joel. And then he gives us the best discourse, the greatest sermon ever preached is right there. You can read it on your own time. But because the point that I want to make is this, is Peter, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, paid attention to what people were saying and doing and thinking. Hello? Do you hear that? That's evangelism. And he spoke to them directly in that manner. Spoke to them in that manner and addressed what they were really thinking. That's cool. That's what evangelism looks like. Hello? You guys following me on that? That's what the Bible says. That's what Peter did. So I'm coming to this place, and you know, I personally have attempted every known form of evangelism that I know exists. I personally have. I've gone door to door. I've gone street witnessing. We've gone feeding families. We do it every day here. Not just that, but I've even done it. We did it before we even had the food closet. We used to go. We actually used to go. Glenn and I probably, Glenn remembers, and some of us, I don't know, I think there's a few others that were maybe, we used to go and make food and take it to places because we didn't know what else to do. And I see other churches doing that same thing. And those were things we used to do, and take blankets and clothes and stuff. We used to do that thing even before we had the food closet. We did that kind of stuff here. To evangelize, to share the truth, to love on people. I've done everything that I know to do to share my faith, to share the gospel. I've done it. Passed out tracts. How many of you have done that? It used to be really popular. It's not so much anymore. Simply because, but all these attempts that we have made, man has made, to share our faith, sometimes I think are of the Lord, and sometimes they fall short because there are attempts to share our faith. Because they're not truly authentically, not all of them are a fault, because there's this like pattern, a format. I used to go with a guy that had a gift of sharing his faith, I think. You know, there's had a gift of evangelism, and as he would go and share, that he had a line, and as he handed a person a track, it was a line, it was a phrase that he would say to every single person. And as he said it to one person, then he'd say it to the next person, and then say it to the next person, and then say the same thing to the next person as he handed him a track, and handed him a track, and handed him a track. Now, was that effective? There's people that actually, you know, because he'd put his phone number on the back, and there was a few people that called him and said, hey, I read it, and I received the Lord. So there was an effectiveness to it, but there was something that I always felt as I would go with this friend of mine. I would be like, okay, that's really cool, and I'm glad you're doing that. But man, I would find, I would stop, and I'd be like, okay, Lord, lead me, and I'd pay attention to people, and as we were doing street witnessing, and of course we used to go down to K Street in Sacramento, and so we'd go down there, and boy, there were some whoo. Yeah, there's some stories about that one. I got to tell you, they're interesting. I mean, some people gnawing on whole ham bones and stuff, and I'm thinking, I hope that's a ham bone because that looks a little bit odd, you know. Loving on people and sharing the gospel, but I would corner a guy and share to where I'd get to know him. I'd say, where are you coming from? What's going on with your life and what's happening? And I'd sit down and talk with this person for a good, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, and my friend would be gone, you know, because he'd be boom, 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 going down the street. And I'd be like stuck there with this one guy that I'd want to just share the Lord with, find out where he was at. So when I say this, you know, I've come to the conclusion that this very, very, very truth, and I need us to hear this. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is more interested in revealing Jesus to the lost than I am. Do you guys hear that, though? I want us to hear that. So that tells me that if I listen to the Holy Spirit, He will lead me and direct me and point me in directions to where, because he's into that way more than me, way more than any of us, way more than even Reinhard Bonnke or Billy Graham or Franklin Graham or anybody that, you know, they're sharing they're an evangelist that are sharing with thousands, millions, and the Holy Spirit is into the lost even more than them. So if God the Holy Spirit dwells in me and is able to lead me, if I listen to the exact time and place and where and to the person, I mean, I feel like that's a win-win. We can't lose, really. I mean, we can't. And if somebody's not willing to receive, that's also okay, because he tells us that there's times for planting, there's time for watering. It's God that makes it grow. And so I understand that so God the Holy Spirit is into revealing Jesus more than I am. So what's my part? What's my part? What's your part? Very simple. Just caring. Caring about people. Caring about people. Having compassion for people. Listening to God the Holy Spirit and having the compassion to care, or this is redundant, but caring to share as God leads you to share. And I want us to know this. That ought to release us and free us. That ought to not put a burden on us to where it's like, oh man, I gotta say stuff I don't want to say. Well, God might do that. He might do that. But trust Him. As Josh even said, and that's exactly true. A lot of times we're afraid sometimes. We're afraid of rejection. I think of just so many things. Just even looking at, you know, my brother Alfonso back there, who works in a government office and yet has professed to be a follower of Jesus in his office place. To anybody that God leads him to profess to be a follower of Jesus of. And that's pretty cool, because that takes a little bit of bravery and courage, because at any given moment, it could go south really fast. And he's only like a year away from getting into retirement. So I'm praying that God will just hold him steady, keep him there long enough to share with as many people as possible and collect a healthy retirement. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Me too. Yeah. Yeah. 23 months, but nobody's counting. 6 days and 14 hours, huh? Okay, real quick. I'm going to go through these because I think that I believe if we pay attention, this comes down to listening to the Holy Spirit, paying attention to the Holy Spirit, but paying attention to people. Being compassionate and paying attention to people. Where they're coming from. Where they're coming from. I think there's four places. You cannot even incorporate even almost five into this, that I've noticed where people are coming from. And one is this, they're looking for acceptance. looking for acceptance. They're looking to have a purpose, to be accepted amongst people. That's a lot of times what when people have perceived this or developed a worldview or a ideology of how to live, a lot of it's they're just looking for acceptance, you know, looking for approval, you know, so they'll either go into the workforce, you know, just, you know, I can gain acceptance by making money or being an athlete or doing this or being a superstar, woohoo, you know, these things are going to get me accepted. Or, and it could be, it could even develop into relationships that go south, you know, because I'm just looking for acceptance. And there's actually, if we pay attention, we'll be able to find that this is what he's talking about. And this is, there's the word that we call it is in Christianese is called, they're looking to be justified. So I'm going to, there's a couple of verses, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Michael, are you going to pop those up or I could do it too? Oh boy. I'm going to get to it. Because I didn't mark them in my Bible and I kind of wanted to. Okay, there we are. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So in that acceptance, what we're gaining is a peace with God. That's what people are looking for. So when we share our faith, we're sharing this a peace with God that only God can give through our Lord Jesus. So knowing that is that's key. Yes, knowing that, but also caring enough to know that that's where somebody's coming from. Another verse to back that up is 1 Corinthians 6:11. Are you popping there? Good. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So here's this place where we're coming to that through the Spirit, by the Spirit of God, we have come to a place of being justified. So we, knowing that, are living that in front of others. This acceptance and justification, this justified I am in Christ, is what people are looking for. So when somebody comes at us with this attitude or a perspective that, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm what is it? I'm striving after the American dream. You know, I'm going for it. I'm going for it. I'm going for it. You know, are they really just looking to be accepted? And I don't have time for God and that God stuff. No, I don't have time for that. Knowing that that person is really looking to just be accepted. So that's where you step in. That's where I step in. To love people. To accept them as they are. Because isn't that what we really... And the other one is... that's so good. In this acceptance, I'm going to skip number two and go to number three on my notes, is that people are looking for intimacy, authentic, genuine intimacy. What is that? The Lord gave me this. Very one little tiny phrase in intimacy is the freedom to be known as I truly am. Isn't that what intimacy looks like? Right? The freedom to be known as I actually am. To where I don't have to put on a face. I don't have to put on a mask. I don't have to put on a front. I don't have to keep walls up. I don't have to protect myself, you know, from being hurt, but I'm free to be known as who I am. Flaws, failures, my shortcomings, my mistakes, my sins that weigh me down, and I could bring them to a place where I could be free, and I could be that place of intimacy to where I can actually, because isn't that really the grace of God? The grace of God in my life is me coming before God just as I am, with nothing in the way, nothing that I'm saying, nothing that is going to say, here's me, the phony person, you know, I got it all together. God isn't, he's not into that. He doesn't, he's like, who are you? Who are you? When we try to pretend to have it. That was weird. I don't know. That's weird. That was weird. Yeah. Yeah. That's not really me. I don't. Man, that was weird. Good thing we're not on video, huh? Amen. Authentic intimacy. And then there's a few verses. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. God knows you already. You don't need to. And here's the thing is, he knows your friend. He knows your neighbor. He knows that person that God has put you in front of to be a witness to. He knows that person. Just think of it. Team up with the Holy Spirit to love that person. Because he already knows that person. He knows you. God may be right in the middle of using you, right in a person's life that's struggling with intimacy, struggling to hide, to put a front up. Another verse real quick is 1 Corinthians 8:3. It says, but if anyone loves God, this one is known by God. Ooh, that's good. To be known by God is awesome. Not to know, God, yes, is very awesome, but to be known by God. I don't know about you, but those are the moments in my life, you ever have these intimate moments with God? There's places of in my relationship with God where God gives me revelation of who he is and how awesome he is and his grace and his mercy and his goodness and all these things and his judgments and his love and those are very, 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 very fantastic moments in my relationship with God. But the moments of just real intimacy with God is when he looks at me and he says, I know you. I know you and I love you just the way you are. That's really good stuff because that's like cleansing to my soul. It's like, oh, okay, God, you love me just like this. You love me just like this. Oh, that's so good. That's so good, and it feels so good to bathe in that. Hello? Hello? If you've never experienced that, ask God to give you that experience of letting him know how much he loves you. He'll do it. He's a loving father. He wants to do that to each and every one of us. Oh, gosh. Amen. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. There's some other verses in here. What is it? It says, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God. Saying the same thing. Okay, good. Okay. This next one that people are looking for next is we're looking for hope. We're looking for a fresh start. A new life. Being a new creation. We've blown it. We've screwed up. And there's sometimes that there's this hopelessness that comes with really just blowing it. Whether it's getting addicted and ruining a life, to where to where there seems like there's this hopelessness and I get to this place of despair and discouragement. And a lot of times that comes out in anger and frustration and no, don't stay back, stay away. And I put up a barrier and a wall, and all the person's looking for is hope. Looking for hope. Hello? We have hope in Christ. We have the hope of hopes. I mean, our hope is in him, and we know him, and he knows us. We could share that. There's a verse I got at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's a new hope. That is a new hope. Amen? Amen. Okay, one last one, and I think this is kind of going to throw it, and then we'll tie it all together. Because I think this ought to be freeing us from this challenge to try to have to share Jesus at every given moment where, you know, like I said, we got to like hurry up and throw the name of Jesus in, you know, somewhere. And that's, if God leads you to throw the name of Jesus in, you better throw the name of Jesus in. Amen. Amen. But at the same time, if you're doing it out of obligation, that where it's like, ooh, you know, out of fear. That's why I'm not even telling you, and these are, I'm not even going into the whys of all these, other than the truths and the facts of this is the truth of how God loves us. It's not the why of why we need to share our faith, because I think that can invoke a little bit of condemnation and guilt. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. That's, to me, that's just another barrier, just another block. But here's one that I think is people are looking for. They're looking for this all-tolerant faith, religion. And we as Christians haven't portrayed that. Haven't portrayed that. Why is that? Why have we not portrayed that? Because we believe that Jesus is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus, right? It's because it's what we believe. But I want us to tear that, and I want us to clear this up. And I think this is, I've never seen this before. I haven't heard anybody speak this. But I really do believe that God gave me this in my spirit this morning, is Jesus is way more accepting than any of us in any religion that exists on the planet. How is that so? Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Listen to this verse. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll." This is referring to Jesus. "And to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Do you see any discrimination there? Any discrimination there as to whether you're black, white, you whatever you believe? God has told us that through Jesus' blood, He has redeemed every tongue and people and tribe and nation. There is no discrimination there. Anybody simply who says yes to Jesus is accepted. To me, that's saying Jesus is the most tolerant of all. Just come to me. That's not being intolerant. That's being truthful. Hello? And if you have the ability and the power to create a whole world unto yourself, then you can make the rules up. Amen. Hello? Oh, not just create it, but sustain it. I mean, do you guys realize that as our earth spins, this world, as it spins perfectly, and as it's placed perfectly at a distance from the sun that it is, that it's held in perfect unison for you and I to live and breathe and have our very next step and breath. Moving just even just the slightest amount, slowing just the slightest amount, speeding just the slightest amount, and we're all done in. We're toast. Literally, toast or icicles. Yeah, one or the other. God's doing that. God's doing that. He can make the rules up as He sees fit. And His rules are full of grace and mercy and love. Amen? Amen. That's what we're called to share. So it's this thing. Listening to the Holy Spirit and compassionately taking the time and effort to hear where people are coming from, that compels us to share the gospel. Share the gospel, listen to this, of not what the gospel is, but how, listen, how the good news is actually good news. Think about it. Just chew on that one for a second. God has called you to share how the good news is actually good news. Right? Not just, you're wrong and you're going to hell if you don't think like me. That may be true, but how that is good news, I don't know. I want us to say and share, and I believe that God's called us to be that, especially in this time right now. We live in this really, really, really volatile time. The world is becoming more secular humanistic than ever before. People are drawing unto themselves and making unto themselves gods unto themselves. We as the church are called to be salt and light right in the midst of it. And just so you know, we at the Salt Mine, I want us to give us, you know, this is pretty cool. Listen to this. Because I'm a part of the universal church, and you are too, that makes you Catholic. I am Catholic. Because I believe in water baptism, I am Baptist. Because I believe in the assemblies of God's people, I am an assembly of God, part of the assembly of God. And guess what? I'll even take it even a little bit farther and say, you know what? Because I'm a saint in the latter day, I'm a latter day saint. And I'll even go even a little bit farther and say, because I love Jehovah and I'm one of his witnesses, I am a witness for Jehovah. And because I follow the teachings of John Wesley, I could be Methodist, or maybe even, who's the other guy? Martin Luther. So therefore, I'm Lutheran. Do you guys hear that? Yeah. Because I am of Christ and Christ is of me, I am Christian. Do not separate and label yourself as so, like, whoo, enlightened, to where you know things that other people don't. Be careful of that. Very, very careful. Walk, tread lightly in that. Be of Christ and Christ of you. And let Jesus shine in you and through you. Do not be so quick to put divisions where God hasn't placed divisions. Hello? Hello? I know I might get, you know, frowned upon for that one, but I don't think so. I think that God the Holy Spirit is saying, and we have the Salt Mine. We aren't affiliated with any man-made, you know, denomination. So therefore, we know everything right. Because we're non-denominational. Be careful of that one too. Yeah. So let us pray. Father God, just thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your goodness that draws us and leads us to you. That same grace and mercy and kindness that draws others to you also. May we just simply share you, Jesus, and authentically and genuinely be salt and light in a dark and dying world, which you have called us to go into. We ask for an anointing and an empowering of your Holy Spirit. Give us words to speak. Give us a heart of compassion. And may we convey your truth to those that need to hear it, in Jesus' name, by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.